radio, digital radio, the app, and streaming. RSN's Racing Pulse.
It's 22 minutes past 10. As I mentioned, the big shiny Melbourne Cup trophy is in the studio. And it's going to be a fantastic race on Saturday night at Sandown. And so is the Bold Trees final as well. And Jason Adams and George Ferrugia are here with me. G'day, fellas.
G'day, Matty. How are you?
Oh, good. I loved... RSN's doing some great coverage as well, of course. But I loved the dot-com coverage on Saturday night. And I was wondering just what, you know, what a bonus that must be to the interest in wagering and so on. And you guys did a wonderful job. It just showcased it perfectly. And as every heat transpired, the pieces of the puzzle came together, Jason. And then we've had the box draw. So it's been an amazing build-up to Saturday night's race,
hasn't it? Yeah, it has. And Georgie can speak for himself from a presenter who's involved in the coverage itself. But from the we'll be outside looking in, not that I've seen it in totality throughout the night, Matt, with different commitments on the night. But clearly it's a rise in the presentation of the whole sport. I think the dot-com thing's been huge. So we know people scrolling through Foxtel, whether it be at home, knowing the event's on or just out of nowhere across the country. So to tune in, see greyhound racing on the biggest stage, presented in the standard that it has been presented, it's been big. And George, I'm sure you felt that as well, being on the panel.
And yeah. Georgie, just on that, like, to me, what creates interest for me, and it parlays into wagering, is when you learn a little bit of something about the contenders, and then you sort of get a little bit of a, well, I want to cheer this one home now. And whether it's Mark Delbridge or any of the post race interviews behind the boxes, and you get a sense of emotion, and then you develop a little allegiance, don't you?
You do, and you find that when people actually get involved with the sport at an ownership level too. They want to get more information, Matt, and then once they do, they can start forming their own opinions. Just quickly too, that interview you had with Brian Martin, I nearly ran off the road when I worked out that was 32 years ago. Better loosen up. My goodness Christ. I was 10, I think, but I remember watching that.
Do you remember watching the cricket and then they crossed to, and
that's
then crossed to Brian Martin for two.
That's right.
Oh, so Jace, everything's about box draws, and even we saw the stories unfold on last Saturday night, and then I kept thinking, oh, gee, this thing doesn't want to draw in, this one wants to draw out. How much has this box draw shaped this race?
Oh, it's vital. I mean, there's so many different layers to winning a Melbourne Cup. You need a fast dog, you need them going well at the right time of year, you need to draw well in a heat, you need to win a heat, you make it to the final, and the draw counts for plenty. So, look, there's probably... the most suited is clearly Plaintiff. Yep. He wants the inside. He's got pace. He's got one. But outside of that, there's so many different circumstances that can unfold.
Let's go box to box and then work out thumbs up, thumbs downs. Let's say you guys just take us through the from 1 to 8, and then we'll work out what these box draws mean for these individual greyhounds.
Well, we'll kick off with Plaintiff, Georgie. Yeah. I mean, he wants the inside. He's got pace. It's just tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, never been beaten off box one. Reliable beginner. He's in a camp that need to build a bigger mantelpiece. They've won that many Melbourne Cups.
Looking for their fifth.
It's incredible. I thought he was a really gutsy heat win too. He didn't even lead, and he still won. He's going to be afforded a little bit more room early. Incredibly hard to beat, for sure.
Is he the warm favourite, Plaintiff?
$2.60, I think, is about the mark for him. So it's just reliability. I mean, I look at the race and think, don't overcomplicate it. Just look at the one who's got pace. He's drawn well. Thompson Camp clearly know how to win a Melbourne Cup. So there's no downside to surrounding him.
Will he lead to the first turn?
There's three greyhounds. Plaintiff, Fernando Mick, and Paddy Wants Pats. That run to the first corner just defies the race, Matt. Whoever can get to the front, and that's why that box draw, as they're turning around that corner, Plaintiff, I mean, they don't run in lanes, obviously, but the shortest way home is against the fence, and that's why he's a warm favourite.
All right, box two.
Yeah, Titan Blazer. Look, really happy to see him back in. I think he's had some injury concerns, this dog, and he made an Australian Cup final. Now he makes a Melbourne Cup final. Can he win it? Probably a place chance for me. Jace, what do you reckon?
Yeah, it's hard to measure him against the likes of Plaintiff and Paddy Wants Pats. He has returned the form in his past few starts, but from a class point of view and performing in really big races, I think that there's others to fancy ahead of him.
All right, what about box three?
This would be an unbelievable story. He'd become the 13th greyhound to win over $1 million. He comes from WA. We're going to speak to his owner shortly. What a meteoric rise since he won that Perth Cup. And
this is Vice Grip?
Yeah, Vice Grip. He's the he's an interesting one because he's the one, whereas Titan Blazer's probably not the best away, not the best home. I think Vice Grip's got the runs on the board where he's really going to be charging late if there's a kerfuffle early.
Yeah, he will be. And he's got that reliability like Izzypi Tesla. You just know what you're going to get. You sort of treat the form guide less seriously. And in terms of the way he got home last week, George, it was the best of the whole meeting, only equal with Amron Boy. So clearly the best run home in the field from what we saw in last week's heats.
What odds is Vice Grip on the fixed?
$6?
Yeah, $6. All right. Yeah, on the third line of betting.
All right, and what are we at to box four?
Yeah, Yachi Bale's an interesting one, Jason, because I think I was on radio saying, can he win a Melbourne Cup? Probably not. This was when he won his prelude, because Mark Delbridge has always said this greyhound over further ground is going to be incredible. But his run last week from box seven was awesome, wasn't it? I mean, he cut across a very good field and won fair and square.
Yeah, he did. And so many times I've seen him back in the ruckus and working hard and charging home and being that eye-catching finisher, but last week he began well. He wanted to get down towards the inside, so four is going to be better than seven last week, and one of the biggest motors going around. He's got a serious engine.
All right. Now I'm going to call up the markets here as well. So the Melbourne Cup final, box five. Fernando Mick is $7.50 on the fixed odds and been pretty constant at that, but it's more often than not the ideal box, the yellow.
Look, for him, it's probably not too bad, Matty, because he begins well usually. He locks the race in that middle part of the track. So, well, that's a good thing for him and the draw he's got, George, and he's just going to run in that same sort of line from the five. At the same time, he's giving opportunity to those on his inside, which you can't do in a Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, you're right. He's drawn okay because the greyhounds in box four and box six aren't great beginners. I think what's his average first split speed? Around 5.03, 5.04, that type of thing.
He's been so consistent, particularly at Sandown.
Yeah, and look, he beat a really good field last week. So he's going to play a big part in this race, especially for Paddy Wants Pats.
As a disadvantage to Paddy Wants Pats.
Only because of the way he races. He's not a fence crasher. He'll stay his line, and Paddy might have to be three deep on that first corner.
All right. Okay, box six is Izzypi Tesla.
Well, to think he's the outsider of the field is amazing, isn't it, George? He's full of class, he's full of strength, he's full of honesty, he's full of heart, but it's really difficult to see him winning the race.
He's going to have to rely on a lot of luck. How about the way he hip and shouldered his way through to win that heat?
Textbook Tesla.
I said on the commentary, he's the greyhound that you'd want in the centre bounce in a grand final. He's just absolute. He's just a pro. He's got such a great will to win. He's got such a terrific record at Sandown as well. He's won 5 out of 8 and ran second on another 2 occasions. But if he won, there would need to be a little bit of trouble upstairs.
Actually, we'll continue through the other runners, including the reserves, in a moment. But first, we've got Glenn Pask, who is the owner breeder of Vice Grip, who, of course, is the one we mentioned earlier, who's drawn in box three. And, boys, Glenn is on the line now.
Well, Glenn, welcome to you, mate. I'm sure you're full of energy, full of excitement. It's only a few days away.
Yeah, it's been a pretty long week so far. But, yeah, it's going pretty quick and only 2 days away. So, yeah, very excited.
Glenn, congratulations. I mean, hopefully you've enjoyed all this week, and it's a credit to your trainer and also the greyhound. Tell us a little bit about this greyhound's journey, because I'm interested in it. I think he won 3 of his first 13. You sent him, I think he had a stint in Darwin for the Darwin Cup. Then he went to WA. He hasn't been a greyhound that just burst onto the scene and looked a superstar. Tell us a little bit about the journey, because he's turned into one.
Well, he started off with Gerry O'Keefe, as you know, and he was going okay, no superstar or anything. And then we sent him down to Tassie for a couple of weeks and just to sort of switch him on and get out a bit of his comfort zone. And then he came home and we decided to send him up to Darwin for the Cup. And he went up there and went okay. He broke the track record. Oh, no, they put a new track down. He broke the track record early. And then after the Darwin Cup, he was always going to go over to Adam to Perth. And when we sent him over, Adam said, I remember Adam saying to me, I've trialled him today, he doesn't trial very well. I said, well, don't worry about it, he never does. And then when you put him in a race, he just sort of switches on and then just improved. And a lot of our breed get better as they get a bit older, when they mature. So, yeah, 2 and 2.5, their sense going well. But, yeah, he just must love it over in Perth and love it the way Adam trains him and just really come out of his shell.
Glenn, we've heard the Adam Smithson story over the past few months, given the success that he has had over there in the West. But from your point of view, why him? How did you know him? Where did the connection strike up to hand vice grip over to him?
Well, we sent Paul over a couple greyhounds, Paul Stewart. And then I rang Paul at one stage, sent a couple more over. He said, oh, I haven't got any room. And I actually rang Ray Smithson, who is Adam's father, who was trained or just about, or I think he just gave up the time, and I rang him and said, oh, I'd like to send a dog over. He said, well, I'm not trained anymore, but my son was. And Paul said, Adam's a good young kid. He's just starting off. And I said, yep, well, we'll give him a go. And yeah, so that was it. So up and about went over first, over to Adam. And then, yeah, we started sending a few more over. And I've actually just sent a couple of more pups over there to Perth.
Glenn, they say that there's a theory among probably all three codes that the really good females are ones that don't end up producing too well when they go to stud. But Belle's a ring and, of course, won a Group 1 Sandown Cup. She was a terrific chaser from a very, very good litter. You must be really proud in the sense that she's gone on to throw a greyhound as good as Vice Grip.
Yeah, she's been a great groupie for us. Even, like, absolute stunner, very well bred. And the first that we got out of her was, you know, you have to pinch yourself, is this really happening? Well, to get four good dogs out of the one litter that all won group races. And then, yeah, went on from Bells of Ringen, and now we got two of her granddaughters and great-granddaughters in Paven Pups. They're just about to, they're getting pre-trained at the moment. So it's just been a great, great line to breed from, and, yeah, hopefully we'll just keep going for a few more years yet.
Mail is the local pub went off when Vice Grip won the heat. What's the pub and what's it going to be like if Vice Grip wins the final?
Oh, they might burn the place down.
I don't know whether that would be appropriate.
No, a few of me mates in there, Longwarry Pub, just down in Gippsland. And, yeah, good little local pub. And, yeah, a few of the boys in there on Saturday night. And one of my mates rang me just after the race. He said the roof nearly come off. He said they were that excited, and yeah, well, actually, we ended up back there Saturday night after the race. I think I got there about 12:30. I think I left about 3:30. So, yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully you don't get so excited as to engage in kleptomania. What's it called? Pyromania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, if it does burn down, Glenn, I think it might be your shout if you've won.
Well, we'll know where to look too, Glenn.
It's just been a great journey, and, you know, there's a lot of people to thank. Like, even now, the blokes like Trent Anderson raised our pups for us, and Grant Fortson placed them in. You know, and we've used them for the last 6 or 7 years, and they just do a great job with our pups.
Well, big payday coming if Vice Grip can win the Melbourne Cup. So good luck, Glenn.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
Glenn Pask there, who's threatening to burn down a pub if he gets really excited. Now, that's Vice Grip. Just summarise our thoughts on Vice Grip, and then we'll get back to the list, and I think we're up to El Dorado, but just recapping on Vice Grip.
What I like about him is he's not electric early, but he's been beginning okay, and he's had to do it from some awkward draws, and he's actually drawn okay here. There's a little bit of speed, obviously, drawn underneath him with Plaintiff, but I tell you what, if those three that we mentioned just shuffle up a little bit, this is where greyhounds like Vice Grip are in this race up to their ears.
And not that he's a slow beginner at all. I mean, we can get fixated on focusing on exactly what they did last week, and for him, his first couple of splits were the slowest of the field that he lines up against this week, but we know it's not him. He can get away a bit better than that and put himself in a more positive spot.
What do we make of El Dorado from box 7? El Dorado's $11 on the fixed odds.
He's a good dog. He's a really good dog, and I mean, there's been probably good races, George, recently where he has come up with a similar draw, and you're doubting from the draw because he's not an express beginner. But he's just a good race dog, isn't he?
He's a winner, isn't he? He's won 17 of 33. He's got a terrific record at the track. He was the fastest of the heat winners. Just on that basis alone, he's got to be a chance. He's got a slow beginner in 6. He might get into a better position than what people are thinking. But again, where he sits and how far he gets away from those greyhounds that are going to be running 29-20s, 29-30s out in front is the big question mark.
Now, it sounds like, I'm thinking speed maps here, it sounds like there's one big scenario here. Paddy wants Pats, has to clear Fernando Mick to be able to win. But if Fernando Mick holds out Paddy wants Pats, can Paddy wants Pats take some sort of a sit and then run over the top of Fernando Mick?
No, I don't think so, because then Plaintiff comes into the race. So that's what the connections of the one would hope, that Paddy gets stuck out wide, because if he leads, he's sectionals in the last couple of weeks, 502, 501, and it's not just the early speed, Jace, is it? He's really dynamic out of a box.
Yeah, he gets away well. And it's consistency as well, George. I mean, we speak about a lot of dogs, and if they get away, and if that, and if this, he gets away more often than not. So he was good last week. He was faultless. And the week before, he actually was off the pace and ran down one who is superior against. You can do it both ways, but I think in a field like this, you can't give chances.
Hard to comment on the reserves, isn't it? Zara's Ivan, $15, and Amron Boy is the second emergency, which would be right in the race, if second reserve, if it got in at $4.20 on the fixed odds. But hard to speculate on greyhounds that aren't in.
Yeah, well, from my memory, George, I know yours goes back further than mine. I can't remember a reserve in a Melbourne Cup.
It just
doesn't happen.
By hook or by crook. Hey, there's a community sweep, and two clubs represented in the community sweep represented by Justin Smith, who joins us. Guys, you know a bit more about this than I do, but Justin's there now, Jase.
Yeah, correct. So the community sweep's been an initiative by the club and has been running for at least 2 years now, and each greyhound that lines up in the heats is allocated a local community group. So just going through the clubs involved from the inside out, Plaintiff is aligned to the Warwick Nabil Eagles Football Netball Club, Titan Blaze of the Doveton Eagles Footy Club, Vice Grip with the Longwood Coursing Club, Yarchi Bay with the Burden Park Bowling Club, Fernando Mick the Fountain Gate Cricket Club, and Zippy Tesla, the Nerry South Saints Football Netball Club, El Dorado, the Hyatt and Football Netball Club, and Paddy Wants Pats with the Dandenong Football Netball Club, who, of course, Justin is a part of, who joins us now. There's $13,000 up for grabs, and Justin, I'm sure if you were to take home some of that prize money, go a long way to helping the two clubs that you're associated with.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, gents. Appreciate the call and coming on. Certainly will help both clubs. Well, I'm involved with Fountain Gate, who has Fernando Miss at a box five, and Daniel Football and Netball Club with Paddy Wants Pats at a box eight.
Justin, sorry, mate, have you done the form a little bit? Do you follow the dogs a little bit, or do you do so more now that you've got so much up for grabs if either of those greyhounds were to win?
I think followed a lot last week, watching them go around. Don't often follow them, but do enjoy a pun on a Saturday. Greyhounds is a one that I do look into, but do have a brief knowledge of them. And I think on behalf of both clubs, I think we've got two really good chances in the race.
And Justin, talk us through the engagement of the two clubs. Is everyone on board with these two runners? Are we going to see many of people from either club at the track on Saturday night?
Yeah, absolutely. Gotten around to a lot of the players and supporters and members of the clubs. Obviously know a bit more tonight, but I think there's absolutely keen involvement to get down to stand down and have a watch and hopefully back a couple of winners.
How far would 13 grand go to these respective clubs, Justin?
It's for local community sporting clubs, it would go a lot more than what most people would know. Obviously coming out of a couple of years of COVID, sponsorships down, obviously your revenue, we've noticed that both clubs are certainly down, and I'm sure all clubs across Victoria and Australia would agree with that. So I think $13,000 or a share of $13,000 goes a very long way with local sporting clubs and community clubs.
Well, you're a massive chance, because Fernando Mick might from five might be able to get across and lead, and if he doesn't, then Paddy Wants Pats might be able to come over across him and lead. So who knows? You're a chance, and there's 13 grand for one of those two clubs. So fingers crossed for you and all the others.
Yeah, hopefully one of them can just be at the right place at the right time and get over that line first.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Good on you, Justin.
Perfect. Thanks, Justin. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Justin Smith there, Fountain Gate. Is it Cricket Club, CC?
Fountain Gate Cricket Club, as well as Dandenong Football Netball Club.
Oh, so right.
Wears terrific. A couple of hats, and he's been the good luck charm for both of those clubs, both making it through to the final.
All right, we're running out of time. Give us your final thoughts on the Melbourne Cup, and then let's have a bit of a snapshot of the bold trees as well, guys.
Plaintiff for me, I don't want to overcomplicate it. He's a good beginner. He's got the perfect draw. Thompson Camp knows how to win a Melbourne Cup. He can go much better than what he did last week, so I find it hard to see any negatives for him.
I think we often forget, guys, that there's so little between these dogs. There's just absolutely nothing, maybe a couple of lengths. So box draws have become all important. And yeah, I just think if he can begin cleanly, Plaintiff, he's the greyhound to beat.
What about the bold trees final?
There's probably a lot more differing opinions in the bowl tree. So I'm going to go with
a box draw is less significant over more ground.
Oh, they're probably less significant, yes, but I mean, it probably depends on what sort of greyhound you are. I mean, George, if you're an untapped, you don't want to draw poorly because she's not going to come from behind. But for a Moraine Susie, who was so good in the fastest heat winner last week, doesn't matter so much for her because even if she doesn't find herself in a forward position like she did, she can still win the race. She's got a massive motor.
Yeah, there's a lot of speed in 2, 3, and 4 guys, and I think how that pans out is going to go a long way to seeing who's going to win. But look, Moraine Susie just announced herself last week, running 41.33. Not that she need too much more announcing. She won the Top Gun the week before. I think if she gets a close enough camp on them, she'll be too hard to beat.
And just the nature of the beast is that some superstars don't make it through, do they? And we saw, well, she's fast and she's a pearl. Just get skittled out of their heat. So that, is there an opportunity for them? Are they running in different races? Is there anything for them on Saturday night?
So She's a Pearl has gone home, and I assume she'll be cotton wool until the Phoenix at the Meadows on December 17, which is the last leg of the Dream Chasers Festival. But from where she's fast point of view, she lines up against Emeron Boy in the showdown, the Sportsbet Showdown, race number 9. So, George, I mean, there was clearly a lot of discussion around Emeron Boy and his sort of position not getting a start in the shootout, and Wowshe's Fast winning the shootout. So the storyline's pretty strong and what looks to be one of the bigger match races that we've ever seen in the sport.
Oh, no doubt about it. And the fact that you're racing for $30,000 to the winner and then $10,000 if you get beaten a two-horse race, it's not too bad. But look, I don't know where you're leaning, Jace, but I'm certainly going to stick with Wowshe's Fast. Not that Emeron Boy's done anything wrong, but I'm just historically think that if she can just get to the front or show her best, she'll be incredibly hard to beat, obviously.
Yeah, I think Emeron Boy's, on what we've seen in the past 2-3 weeks, going better than what she is. So if she gives him any opportunity, I'm not sure she's going to be able to run him down.
Is, without overstating it, is this the biggest night of racing for a long, 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 long time?
I think so. It's unbelievable. The support card is incredible. I think it's as good as it gets. I know we've got the Phoenix worth $1 million, guys, which is sort of Everest-like, and this is more Cox Plate-like, if you like, but it's incredible. Every race you look at, there is quality.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I think when you weigh up the situation, I mean, last week for the purists, Matty, it's the best because you've got the best against the best in heats. This time around, I think you weigh up all the factors. You've got the coverage on racing.com, you've got the Melbourne Cup worth $1 million for the first time, and turnover is acting accordingly for the momentum that the carnival's been able to build. So, yeah, no arguments for me from that point.
It's very easy to watch from home, but it's better to go. And Sandown's very accessible. Off the top of the head, price to get through the gate?
So $10 general admission. Dining is at capacity, so no chance there. But this will be a lot of entertainment on course. Obviously, we've spoken about the depth of the racing and how good's that going to be. Entertainment throughout the night. Then after the last stand and deliver, we'll be performing a tribute band followed by famous DJ in Joel Fletcher, who my mates will be all over. So plenty of entertainment throughout the night and $10 general admission.
Good, you used to go there when Miata used to fly around, didn't you?
Yeah, but I mozzed Miata. Then I got a Desire or Allen.
That's right.
I used to stand in that, grassy knoll at the front of the Tabaray. That used to be my lucky spot. And then I kept getting Miata beaten, and then I was run out of the joint. So. Hey, good on you guys. I will probably see you there on Saturday night.
Beautiful.
100%.
Yeah. And thanks very much.
And appreciate the support from RSN throughout the week too. It's been outstanding.
Absolute pleasure.